one that can see.
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without. Free your consciousness.
I've got one that can see.
Free your consciousness.
I've got one that can see.
Free your consciousness.
Hello, greetings, and welcome to the DougMichaelTruth.com podcast. This is Doug. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for once again spending your time with us. We are coming at you pre-recorded from an undisclosed bunker in the Adirondack Mountains. And ladies and gentlemen, this past week, Thursday night into Friday, we got pummeled with rain here, flooding all across much of central New York State. But we here in the bunker have been safe and relatively dry. Joining me is my friend and co-host, David Michael Thomas. David, how you doing?
Good to be here. Good to be here again, Doug. I'm ready for another podcast, ready to speak some truth.
So today's topic, ladies and gentlemen, part three of our series, The Perceptual War, Consciousness Besieged, and we're going to talk about language and the manipulation of language. We both came up with this talking on the phone this past week. We thought it would be really a good topic to discuss in light of what we see occurring with the censorship and the literal manipulation of the language that is really taking hold. So we'll start with the definition of propaganda. What do you got, David?
I've got propaganda is, according to Wikipedia, propaganda is information used primarily to influence an audience to further an agenda, which may not be objective and may be presenting facts selectively to encourage a particular synthesis or perception, or using loaded language to produce an emotional response to the information being presented.
No, that's what we see occurring all across mainstream media these days. And, you know, years ago in the days of Edward Bernays, you know, we talked about Tavistock Institute before, they actually changed the word propaganda to, quote, public relations. And Edward Bernays was the father of public relations, and through propaganda and deception, where he was able to manipulate people on a large scale. And of course, these days, it seems like these propaganda techniques have been absolutely perfected. But yeah, that it's propaganda has become public relations. So there's an example right there of euphemistic language being employed.
The Soviet newspaper Pravda means truth, which is I think that's an example of doublespeak right there.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that. In the novel 1984 by George Orwell, who was himself a member of the Fabian Society, so whether or not he was prophetic in his work or he was telling you the agenda of these people is up for debate. You know, some people think he had a conscience and he was warning through his dystopian novel, and others think, no, he was a member of the Fabian Society and he was basically telling you what they had in mind. But what we see unfolding with this rapid advancement of technology, I don't think Orwell could have imagined in his wildest dreams how, you know, far along it would be in this age. But that word you said, doublespeak, comes from that novel, 1984. And I don't believe Orwell coined that particular term, but he used it in his novel to describe, it's defined thusly, language used to deceive, usually through concealment or misrepresentation of truth, like propaganda, language that deliberately obscures, disguises, distorts, or reverses the meaning of words. Doublespeak may take the form of euphemisms, in which case it is primarily meant to make the truth sound more palatable. It may also refer to intentional ambiguity in language or to actual inversions of meaning. In such cases, doublespeak disguises the nature of truth, doublespeak is most closely associated with political language. Well, of course, with this PC climate that we see, which has just gotten so out of hand, we've got lawmakers passing for legislation to literally control speech, offensive speech or hate speech. Well, who decides? Will they do? And again, I know we mentioned in one of our previous talks that in New York City now, you could be fined $250,000 for using the term illegal immigrant in a derogatory way. Well, who decides if it's derogatory? You know what I mean? But that's just, that's really unbelievable what we see occurring with the language.
They like the term undocumented, and even newer I heard is misdocumented. Mm-hmm. Misdocumented. We each crossed the half century mark, and we need documents to purchase beer. Imagine just going in, I am misdocumented, ma'am. I am not an illegal beer purchaser.
I was just reading yesterday, as a matter of fact, I think it might have been an RT, how by 2020, they want every American to have one of those, what do they call those, enhanced licenses to travel even within the country. So it really is coming down to a point of, your papers, please.
Yeah, that's what they did in the USSR. You had to have an internal...
Internal passports. Yeah.
And I thought that's one of the great things. They used to teach us in school. They would say, in America, you can travel from one end to the other without anyone bothering you. But that's not the case anymore.
Nope.
Gotta have documents now.
We see this rapid Big Brother police state unfolding. And it's just amazing how the majority is just oblivious, none the wiser, or it doesn't affect me. You know, the destruction of my freedom doesn't affect me somehow. They think that. It's just, there's an idea of double think for you, which we'll get to. So, doublespeak, using a lot of euphemistic language, we see that occurring. In fact, about 25 years ago, remember the comedian George Carlin? He did a great little presentation on euphemistic language, how they soften the language. He did a great job, but then this guy was talking about this 25 years ago, you know, and myself, I started talking about maybe 10 years ago, this changing of the language, and now we see it. It's just getting to the point where it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd, and if you say the wrong word, or someone might get offended. So I think it's pushing us to the point where we police our own thoughts, and that's dangerous. That's mind control. So we've got double speak and double think. Again, coined by Orwell in his dystopian novel, 1984. And doublethink is the acceptance of or mental capacity to accept contrary opinions or beliefs at the same time, especially as a result of political indoctrination. Doublethink is the act of simultaneously accepting two mutually contradictory beliefs as correct, often in distinct social contexts. Doublethink is related to, but differs from, hypocrisy and neutrality. Also related is cognitive dissonance, in which contradictory beliefs cause conflict in one's mind. Doublethink is notable due to a lack of cognitive dissonance, thus the person is completely unaware of any conflict or contradiction. That's interesting, isn't it? It's basically the mind holding two opposing viewpoints and believing them to be true, whereas with cognitive dissonance, as we talked about in one of our talks, when the mind is subject to information that it disagrees with, it causes this dissonance in the mind. But in a person engaging in doublethink, the cognitive dissonance isn't even there. So that warning flag is just not there. It's just believing two contradictory points of view and yet believing them both to be true.
I guess if you're doublethinking, you're successfully lying to yourself.
Yeah.
It did remind me of that of our topic on cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, so I don't know. Think of an example of doublethink. Seeing this police state constructed all around us and still believing yourself to be free. But I think with a lot of people, the cognitive dissonance would blind them from seeing this police state and this kind of, you know, dystopian high-tech surveillance system unfolding all around us. It's more like ignoring it, turning a blind eye.
Believing this police state makes you safer.
Yeah.
There's some stories. This might be a different topic, but you hear stories about people swatting each other. I get where a SWAT team, someone calls a SWAT team on their friend, and I don't know if anyone's been killed as a result of that. They consider it a prank, but I have heard about SWAT teams raiding the wrong home.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody with no knock, and somebody responds. They fire at the intruders, which is their right, and they get gunned down by the SWAT team. And they're never held accountable.
Yeah, a lot of times they're not.
Not on any level at all. Not as a bureaucracy. Not the person who wrote the warrant. It's just anyone else makes a mistake like that, you're held accountable. A private citizen makes a mistake like that, they're held accountable. But the government makes a mistake like that, they're not held accountable. And that's why it's so dangerous to give the government more power.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing too. Like these socialists, that they want everything for free. And they scream and yammer about oppression, and they want to give more power to the state, as if communism ever worked. You know, so there's double think for you. Just amazing. And you know, you brought up the SWAT teams. I read an article this week. I forget where it was. Maybe it was Georgia, or somebody shoplifted, and the SWAT team came and, you know, used excessive force. Someone died, and the officers completely exonerated. No problem. No charges.
Really?
Yeah.
Over shoplifting?
Over shoplifting.
SWAT team?
Yeah. How ridiculous is this? I mean, and we've seen this massive militarization of the police that Donald reversed an executive order that actually Obama put in place, believe it or not, at the beginning of last year, that allowed the police to have far more militarized weapons, including grenade launchers. So we're seeing this militarization of the police and this high-tech surveillance system and this manipulation of the language all through the media, the propaganda platforms, the Ministry of Propaganda, that's what I call it. In Orwell's novel, it was the Ministry of Truth, which was the media that basically painted the picture of reality that they wanted the citizens to believe.
And we do have, I've seen headlines lately that Facebook is trying to start its own new news outlet,
yeah.
And because that will be focused on the truth, and YouTube cracked down on what they call conspiracy theories, and they also seem to think we're not smart enough to recognize satire when we see it, like something like The Onion or the what's that other one called, the Bumblebee, I forget what it's called, but there's a couple of satire online publications, and their headlines are clearly satire, but yet the Snopes will fact check it seriously. And Snopes...
I can't stand Snopes.
And how can you... Snopes seems to have lost its neutrality. I think I used to go to Snopes, but now it seems that Snopes has lost its neutrality. Even Wikipedia. I look at Wikipedia and look at its article on Antifa. That's not a neutral article. That's not neutral.
No, not at all.
And they're neutrally left. That's what reminds me of the whole Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know if were you familiar with Dungeons and Dragons?
A little bit, years ago.
They had a chaotic evil, lawful evil. Well, now they've got a neutral left.
Neutral left. And then from Orwell's novel, we have the term newspeak, which he coined again in that novel, 1984. In Orwell's fictional state, Oceania it was in the novel, newspeak was a language favored by the minions of Big Brother, and in Orwell's words, designed to diminish the range of thought. Newspeak was characterized by the elimination or alteration of certain words, the substitution of one word for another, the interchangeability of parts of speech, and the creation of words for political purposes. The word has caught on in general use to refer to confusing or deceptive bureaucratic jargon. Well, we see that going on. Like, we've got a lot of newspeak. What are these words like mansplaining or microaggression or heteronormativity? We see a lot of these new words just coming into the vernacular out of nowhere. And we're supposed to take it seriously. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say this a million times. We think in terms of language. You control the language. You get people to self-censor. You know, you've got them. That's mind control. And we see in the media all this PC language and all this getting so easily offended at the drop of a hat, it's just getting nonsensical. And you know, it's funny, like I mentioned, Carlin, you had some comedians and conspiracy theorists talking about this 20 years ago, the changing of the language. And guess what? A lot of those conspiracy theorists, yeah, they were right. No wonder platforms like Google and YouTube are cracking down so hard on a lot of these people who simply offer an alternative view. And maybe they're crazy, but it don't make them wrong.
They're cracking down on what they call conspiracy theories. And some of those, one of the things I loved about YouTube were the conspiracy theories. I didn't necessarily believe many of them or even any, some of the, I loved the crazier ones. I loved hearing, there was this one, I don't know if they turned him off, Secure Team 10. That guy's got some great stories. I don't even know if it's even meant to be taken seriously. It's almost like a, like creepy stories that, about aliens, about something. He's always talking about Venus a lot. Something's going on there. Can't be good. But and it's always fascinating. And I don't know if they're cracking down on that. And the term conspiracy theory itself, I think you explained this, how that term was coined to pigeonhole people who question or who suggest that there might be more than one person or entities or government entities working together in a deception.
Yeah.
The CIA came up with that, right?
It was. Well, they didn't come up with it. But conspiracy theory is a great example of newspeak. And you see, when people adopt this language in their vernacular, you can't even say the word conspiracy without following it with theory. And the moment the word conspiracy comes up, it's rejected automatically as if conspiracies don't exist. But if you just look at the definition of the word, very basically, two or more people plotting together to commit an evil or unlawful act. Well, shit, that happens every day. You can go to court and be tried and convicted for conspiracy charges. So the CIA, after the Kennedy assassination, basically adopted the term. It first appeared in an article in American Historical Review in around 1909. But the CIA took it to discredit people like Jim Garrison or other investigators that were looking into the murder of Kennedy and pointing out that the official story just didn't make sense. And that's where that smear word came from. Now it's a smear word. If you're a conspiracy theorist, it automatically means you're nuts, you're crazy. So I guess architects and engineers for 9/11 truth must just all be crazy. You know, they did this 4-year study, as we talked about, and basically proved through computer modeling that Building 7, there's no way it came down from fire, that it was impossible. So, and you're dealing with professional, intelligent people. Well, you just smear them with the word conspiracy theorist and you totally discredit them. And because people don't think for themselves, because people don't read anymore, that's good enough. You know, I see people adopt these newspeak words into their vernacular and don't question where it comes from. You know, like mansplaining. I can't stand that when people just jump on the bandwagon and adopt these terms and don't realize that they're being manipulated.
That's a newer one, isn't it? Mansplaining.
Yeah. Toxic masculinity or whatever these other words.
I think mansplaining means to condescendingly deliver a lecture. I think I've had men and women condescendingly deliver a lecture to me on different topics. But women can't do that? Women don't do that? I've been on the receiving end of a few of those.
Sure, me too. From males and females. But it's just, you know, with that stuff, that's just, you know, kind of to discredit masculinity, if you know, which is ridiculous. But yeah, mansplaining and toxic masculinity, as if being masculine is toxic in some way.
You know, the toxic masculinity that hit the beaches of Normandy in World War II.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've got the media, which we've talked about, which is the Ministry of Truth. I call it the Ministry of Propaganda because that's what it is. And, you know, here's something else over the last, really since Trump got in there, I think we've seen an explosion in this new newspeak language and with the amplification of propaganda in the media. The media in the United States and much of Western Europe has become a pathetic joke. All it's designed to do is shape and influence public opinion. Many media journalists use that term very loosely. Actually have connections to intelligence agencies, like we mentioned before. So what you're getting is the official narrative that those in power want you to believe. That's all the media ever was.
It's been doing that more and more. And you look at the way they covered up for, they seem to be covering up the whole, the Epstein death. And I wonder who they're doing that for. They're not talking about, if you compare that to how much, not to get too political, but Justice Kavanaugh had a couple of accusers, a couple of women accused him, and I think one of them couldn't remember when it happened, how she got there, had no supporting details at all, and he got on the Supreme Court, and then all these allegations went away because they were no longer useful. I mean, if he is a rapist, then he's a rapist, whether or not he gets on the Supreme Court, but it all went away. Yet the Epstein, it seems like more and more information is coming out, but it's not making the headlines. The news does not want to talk about this.
That's right.
Didn't the coroner say that it looked like the evidence that he was strangled?
Yes.
They're not talking about that.
No.
How convenient. And you always say, who benefits, right?
Right.
Who benefits? Well,
so yeah, when you take into account media presentations, who benefits from the mass of the people believing the official narrative or what's being presented? And I think, you know, most people that will pick up a newspaper or watch, a broadcast and just adopt that into their belief system never ask that, wait a minute, who benefits by me believing this? It's usually not you. It's those in power that want to direct reality or public opinion in a certain way. Those are the people who benefit. So we could see any number of events, and it's going to be spun, and you're going to hear all these new speak terms and different words, euphemisms to paint a picture that benefits those in power you believe in. That's how the media works. It always was. It's just getting really out of hand these days. We see all these restrictions on free speech. You know, we've spoken about it before, comedians that are censoring themselves out of fear of backlash. So kudos to the ones that don't do that. You know, the Bill Burrs of the world and the Stephen Hugheses and any of these comedians that are refusing to bow and kowtow to this politically correct language. You know, good on you. Keep doing that. And when we talk about free speech, here's a recent campaign for free speech survey I read. I was shocked. But it concluded, and I'll put the link for this under the audio player, ladies and gentlemen, so you can take a look. But this free speech survey concluded that most Americans support viewpoint-based censorship, suppression of hurtful or offensive speech in universities or on social media, government action against newspapers and TV stations that print or air biased, inflammatory, or false content, and revising the First Amendment, which goes too far in allowing hate speech to reflect the cultural norms of today. Holy shit. You know, we've got groups of young people, college students, that have been indoctrinated their whole life with this Marxist ideology, this propaganda, that now think that, yeah, we should have restrictions on free speech. I mean, could you imagine? Never thought I'd see it here, but here we go. And I know a lot of times the polls and the surveys you can't really trust, but this one was very comprehensive. And I've seen a lot of these man in the street videos where they're talking to these young adults and they think socialism's great and they think, yeah, there should be restrictions on free speech. Well, again, who decides if it's hurtful or offensive? Who decides if it's false content and which goes too far? Who decides this? And, you know, I think it was back in about 2011, there was a decision made that it's okay for the media to lie. It's totally legal for the media to lie, which is what they do.
Well, it used to be when television started, Every TV station was expected to give 1/2 hour of news every day as part of having access to the airwaves, because the airwaves are owned by America, ostensibly by the American people, but really owned by the government, controlled by the government. And they had to give 1/2 hour of news every day, and they were supposed to be impartial. And they've gotten away from that, especially with the advent of cable news that they have to compete with. So you have situations where they're protecting people like Harvey Weinstein, pretending that's not going on. And we just found out that they that CBS, I think ABC or CBS, spiked the story on Epstein.
Yeah, I read about that.
When it was starting to come out. And I guess George Stephanopoulos, another big, another once trusted name in news, is going in the same direction as a few of those other fellas, the guy from the Today Show, Dan Rather, who made up that that letter about George H.W. Bush getting out of the draft. He said that when they found out that the typeface wasn't even around back when that back then, and Dan Rather said, "Well, it's inaccurate, but it's true," or some craziness like that.
They script reality, the media, and it's become an art form. But I think, especially since this last election, the media showed its hand as being completely, very hardcore left-leaning, and it's blatant. And I think viewership's dropping, newspaper sales are dropping all over the place as people are starting to see that, wait a second, is it really fair and balanced reporting, or is it skewed to create a picture that they want you to believe? And that's the case, and I think more and more people are starting to realize that. And hence the crackdown on alternative blogs and real journalists that might use YouTube or other platforms to get their message out.
Yeah, it's moving further and further in that direction. And we're also, as we live in a world, as the world gets smaller through electronics, we're being censored by, Hollywood is being censored by China. And I think, I don't know if we mentioned before how the remake of Red Dawn had to be changed, instead of China being the villain.
Because, they want that market. Just recently, a couple weeks ago, South Park did a cartoon where they were cutting on the Chinese government, and it was banned in China. And I admire those guys because they won't kowtow. In the midst of all this, like the NBA, there were certain things going on there where they didn't want to offend the Chinese masters, right? South Park just went the opposite way and they got banned, and they don't care. I just thought that was great that they didn't kowtow. It's a good episode. I got to show it to you. It's really funny.
Did you know Winnie the Pooh is not allowed in China anymore? Because I guess...
Yeah, he was in the cartoon. He was in a Chinese gulag.
somebody said he looked looks too much like President Zhu. Is that how you say his name?
I don't know.
He looks too much like President Zhu.
They banned Winnie the Pooh.
I didn't notice it.
He's like the most non-threatening character ever.
I didn't notice it until it was pointed out to me by the Chinese that they called attention to it by censoring it.
Yeah.
And so it has that, it backfired on
them. I don't know why they wouldn't just change the audio to up with the party, you know. Down with capitalism. Hey, Piglet, did you know capitalism is evil? Where's the honey?
Stand in line for 3 hours for a jar of honey.
Yeah.
If there's any left.
Oh, so I just discovered this morning. I heard about it, but I thought it was a joke, but apparently it's not. Microsoft, they have probably the most popular, most industry standard word processing program is Microsoft Word. It comes, I don't think it comes installed with Windows 10. They give you a trial. You have to pay for it now. But it's the most used, probably global, word processing program. And Microsoft now has developed an AI program. Get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Ideas in Word. It's an artificially intelligent program that checks writing for political correctness. So you know how you have spell checker and grammar checker? It'll underline a word that's questionable or misspelled. Well, now they're going to do it with PC, non-PC language. And from the article in, I believe it was The Blaze. I will link that article, ladies and gentlemen. And in from this article, quote, similar to the program's current grammar and spell check suggestions, ideas in Word will underline words that appear insensitive in nature. Words that refer to genders such as spokeswoman, waitress, or mailman would likely trigger suggestions including spokesperson, wait person, or mail person, respectively. I mean, my God. Now, I don't think it's... They'll probably, in future versions, make it just a plugin that comes with the program. But yeah, even Microsoft Word will censor your language as you're writing.
So quoting Neil Armstrong is going to be problematic.
Yeah, right. One small step for people. One great leap for people kind or whatever. Yeah, that's just amazing. I mean, here's the thing with technology. It's wonderful. It's great. It's moved us forward. Neither David nor myself are Luddites in any way, but it's a double-edged sword. With this rapid increase in advanced technology, the potential for control and literal enslavement is massive. So Microsoft Word will keep an eye on your language to make sure it's not offensive.
Well, you're going to have to update that pretty frequently to get the pronouns.
Yeah,
the ever-changing list of pronouns correct, and I think we talked about how these politicians, when they introduce them to like Elizabeth Warren, I'm Elizabeth Warren, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I'm sometimes an Indian, and sometimes I'm not Native American, sometimes a Native American. Remember, she got caught being a fake Native American.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how she wriggled out of that.
All these puppets are fake. The fact that anyone even takes them seriously anymore just blows my mind.
When I took some college classes not too long ago to be a paralegal, and one of the classes I took, it wasn't directly related to the law. I think it was a writing class, but the textbook itself said not to use the term illegal immigrant, but to use the term migrant or undocumented. So there it was in black and white being taught in a textbook.
Yeah.
And
well, now it's illegal in New York City to say illegal immigrant.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. With fines, we're not talking, you know, $100 fines, $250,000 or jail time. Imagine for saying the wrong thing. Once this starts to happen, and I've said this before too, in a place like America where freedom of speech is one of the hallmarks, this is one of the things that, you know, set us apart from many areas of the world. When you see this kind of crackdown, you know you're headed for a fall. And, you know, it really is time to pay attention. And yet, what does the average person do? Just go along like everything's just fine. You know, talk about doublethink. There you go.
Well, how long is the list of other countries that you can walk into undocumented and have no problems?
It's getting less because, well, European nations and America, you could just waltz right in now and get handed everything.
Yeah.
But try doing that in Saudi Arabia or even Canada.
In Canada,
We're on the Canadian border. What a pain in the ass it is to cross that border. You know, if you have any prior convictions, you're not getting into Canada.
Trudeau.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you.
Oh, that hypocrite. So the survey I just mentioned, Campaign for Free Speech Survey, also concluded. Now, this is chilling to me. 61% supported censorship of, quote, hurtful or offensive speech in certain contexts, and 63% said the government, right, the government, the state, should restrict the speech of racists, neo-Nazis, radical Islamists, Holocaust deniers, anti-vaccine activists, and or climate change skeptics. Holy shit. I mean, when they say racist, neo-Nazis, you could almost be like, well, okay, but then anti-vaccine activists. So, if we do a presentation warning on this horrific HPV shot that's been destroying young girls' lives, I mean, on record, thousands and thousands of little girls hurt, some killed by the shot, I should be restricted in warning people that, hey, maybe you might want to consider not giving your kids this shot, which is really untested and it's causing a lot of harm. Or if I make fun of the whole Greta Thunberg kind of thing like I did, should that be restricted because I think it's ridiculous? Well, that's what 63% in this survey said, yeah. And who decides, oh, the government should restrict the speech. There you go. Give more power to the state to shut your speech down. Unbelievable. What are these people thinking?
So talking about the weather could get you put in jail now. Climate change skeptics. So could that go as far as saying it's not the heat, it's the humidity? When in fact it is the heat. Could you go to jail for that if a climatologist disagrees with you?
Yeah, right. That's
and you talk about science being that Bill Nye. I can't stand him.
Oh, me either.
Super leftist, politicized Bill Nye, science guy. He's an engineer, but he calls him science guy. Talk about a euphemism there.
Yeah,
science guy, and we have to take his word from his.
Yeah, I saw this one little episode he did where he had all these trans dancers and stuff. What does this have to do with science?
I saw that. Yes, yes.
Why don't you talk about that?
That was indoctrination right there. That was
There's
weird.
A prime example of it too. And you want to know what the problem is, and why 63% think the state should restrict speech? Well, 32 million American adults are illiterate, stone illiterate, can't read or write. 32 million. 21% of Americans operate on only a fifth grade level of reading and comprehension. That is the mind of a 10-year-old child, or an 8-year-old, actually. Fifth grade, yeah, it's around 8 years old. And on top of that, 19% of high school graduates cannot read or write. How the hell do they graduate? And these are official statistics from the U.S. Department of Education and the National Institute of Literacy. One thing is certain, a nation of ignorant people will never be free.
This is our government schools in action.
Yep. And so what are they turning out? A generation of young kids that can't fucking read and write. Or if they can, it's on the level of a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old child, fifth grade level. 21%, that's almost a quarter of the population. That's why young adults will think communism is a great idea. Well, they call it socialism. Or that, no, you should restrict his speech because someone might get offended. What is this whole climate of being offended by everything?
They should change make the word illiterate illegal.
I'm sure they'll soften that soon with some language, you know.
What,
he's not illiterate. He's reading challenged. Or, I don't know.
Someone mentioned, I read about Harvard psychologist Steven Pinker said people and groups who start to use euphemisms start on what he calls a euphemism treadmill. New euphemisms soon take on the taint or connotations that the words that they replaced once held. So you have to stay a step ahead. Saying colored persons now is not acceptable, but persons of color is acceptable. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
it's so close, but for some reason, adding of that makes no sense to me. And who decide? And then take this a step further. The NAACP. You can complain to the NAACP if you're called a colored person. You complain to an organization called the National Advancement for the Association of Colored Persons.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have to rally to have them change their name now. Well, the of is in there, so I guess that makes it okay. No, see, this is how ridiculous it's getting in this country. Oh, my God. And imagine, I think a racist speech to me is kind of disgusting, but once we start getting into censoring and letting the state decide what's offensive and what's not, we're on a downward slope to oblivion.
Leave it out there so we know who's thinking what and everything. We know where the racists are, what they're doing. You keep it in the shadows. You suppress it. People won't stop being racists. They'll keep that racism will still go on. It'll just be secretly. It'll just be hidden.
Yeah, I think it's more with this hardcore leftism, censoring those who disagree with them. Because as you notice, they're Nazi. That's the first label they call you. If you disagree with me, you say, no, I don't think communism's a good idea. Nazi!
Nazi, or you're a racist.
Yeah, so you should be silenced for disagreeing with them, especially if you're a climate denier.
It's incumbent. I think they've called climate deniers racist. I think they've said that climate change is racist.
Yes.
I've heard all sorts
air
of
pollution is now racist. Milk is, because, you know, it's white. What if you have chocolate milk? Should you call it milk of color? Because that might be racist now, calling it chocolate milk. That's insensitive. This is
I wonder how crazy it's going to be in 5 years.
Yeah, if it keeps going at this rate and Americans bow their heads and just allow it and keep allowing their kids to be, you know, put through these indoctrination mills, it's not going to lead anywhere good. And now with the monitoring everywhere you go, I mean, there's no escape from oversight. Oh, it's getting to that point. I mean, look at China with the social credit system. My goodness, you say one wrong thing and your rights are restricted, like right to travel or shop at a particular location. And they're bringing that here. And, yeah.
It's like the worst that the Black Mirror has ever shown us. And it's all over China now, and it's going to be coming here. So much of what we've seen in historical police states are being imported to the United States from militarized police forces, internal travel documents, socialism now.
Everything's hate speech and this culture of being offended. And Americans, I've often said, we're kind of the last bastion for free speech. America will either lead the way into the pit or out of it. And the rate we're going, looking at all this, and people's just lack of care and concern, generally speaking, it looks like we're leading the way into the pit. You know, if we allow the freedom of speech to go, it's done. We're done here. And it's happening, unfortunately.
It's a reason. It's the First Amendment. I heard about this. There's just to add to all of this, according to The Independent, an online paper, an artificial intelligence program deemed too dangerous to release was somehow accidentally released to the released out into the world. It's called GPT-2, and it's so powerful it could be used by politicians to create propaganda through artificial intelligence. Propaganda that it can be fed text that can predict the words that will come next, thus creating documents, screeds, or manifestos that read as if they were written by a human being. Extremist groups or the government could use it to create synthetic propaganda, allowing for the creation of long rhetorical documents promoting genocide or anti-Western jihad or anything else you could think of, any other kind of agenda-driven propaganda.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it's escaped. It's out in the world now. And I imagine this might be getting a bit into some other topics, but you imagine putting this side by side with technologies like deepfake.
Yeah.
Where you can put any celebrity discussing anything. And
look at the potential of that. I mean, you could take down anyone that's not, you know, in accordance with the party, with the state.
Mm-hmm.
And what kills me is when you see these young kids that have had the spirit of rebellion absolutely raped from them, wanting to give the state more power. Have the power to control my language. Great idea. Well, that always works out real well, doesn't it?
You did a good diatribe on that. What happened to the spirit of rebellion? Is that,
yes.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. It's been bred out of these young ones, and it's... Yeah, when you've got a high percentage of people being surveyed saying, yes, we think that restrictions on free speech is a great idea. Yeah, that's the future there, ladies and gentlemen. It don't look too good, does it?
No, it does not. No, not at all. It's looking darker and darker.
Yeah, I mean, I don't suggest dwelling in it, but to be aware of it is a good first step. I mean, if enough Americans could put down their stupid identity politics and stop being so divided on these artificial lines and say, okay, I might not agree with your politics, but what I do agree on is that we should be free. Then maybe we could come together and say, okay, look, we've had enough of your bullshit. You're not going to restrict my speech. You're not bringing communism to these shores. We're not having it. But I don't see enough people doing that, unfortunately. It's you know, it's a situation where I think the elite, back in the times of monarchy, right, where you could see the king walk down the street with the long flowing robes and the crown and, you know, adorned with jewels and surrounded by his entourage. Now they just kind of do it from behind closed doors, and they give you a bit of affluence so that you think you're free. So if someone believes in their bones that they're free, they're not going to rebel against not being free. It's a mind game. It really is. Mm-hmm. So, again, the double thing, because you, oh, I'm free. Communism. Yay, good. That's double thinking. You can't have it both ways, you know. You can't serve two masters. And then when you look into legalese, too, when it comes to language, a lot of terms in legalese don't mean what they do in common parlance. For example, the word person. In common language, a person is a living, breathing human being. I'm a person, you're a person. But in legalese, it's actually a legal fiction, a corporation. So since we operate under a commercial system, you walk into a court, that name on the birth certificate or the driver's license is recognized by the court as a legal fiction. And if, you know, if you identify with that legal fiction, you could have all kinds of problems. Oh, just another point in there about language.
Yeah, legalese is another way that that trips things up, that makes it so that we have to hire an attorney to get out of a speeding ticket now.
Yep.
And you have to you have to spend all, and which creates our two-tier system of justice. You have the money, you can hire a better attorney, and you don't have the money, well, you're going to do the time in one of our privately owned prisons, one of our part of the prison industrial complex,
yeah,
which amounts to, in many cases, slave labor, because people there in these places are working for 10 cents an hour, sometimes even nothing.
Sure.
I was appalled to learn that Hillary Clinton, in her book, I think her book was called It Takes a Village. number 1 billion on the New York Times bestseller list this week. But she talked about how they had black servants from the prisons in Arkansas. And she said if they broke any rules, they were sent right back and they worked for free. And she said, and this is a woman with no degree in psychology, she said they were emotionally illiterate, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And this, whatever she meant by that.
Another euphemism.
Yeah,
right?
Another euphemism, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this censorship crackdown has, I mean, to the point of destroying monuments, right, statues, the racist statue or racist cars. That's the word that gets thrown around a lot these days, is racist. But if you'll notice, if there's any hate speech directed towards white people, especially straight white men, no problem at all. Like, I saw YouTube censor some conspiracy guy for talking about me. Might have been vaccine danger or something. But then you had a feminist calling for the murder. Every male white baby should be killed. No problem. No red flags there. So it seems to be, as long as it's in line with the official narrative, you got a platform. No problem. And the official narrative seems to have swung in favor of, you know, white straight men are the problem. All the world's problems are caused by us. We're Satan incarnate. So any kind of hate speech directed towards white people, no problem. But any other group, it's hate speech.
What amazes me is there was the guy who played David Banner in the Marvel movies. He's a big crusader against white privilege. And I always wondered, well, why doesn't he step down from playing David Banner for however many, or is it Bruce Banner, I guess, for all the money he makes? Why doesn't he step down and let a person of color take the job? Why is he using his white privilege to play that? Why do you need a Caucasian to play Bruce Banner when you could have someone of any? You could have a woman in a woman in a wheelchair, transgender in a wheelchair, a black transgender in a wheelchair play Bruce Banner just as effectively? Why doesn't the man who, whatever his name is, why doesn't he step down from playing Bruce Banner? But he's always crusading against this. He does that virtue signaling.
Yeah, virtue
signaling. Big time.
Uh-huh. White privilege. That's another thing. There's another piece of euphemistic language. And people are falling for it, too, you know. And it's part of the divide and rule strategy. All this manipulation of the language and all this attacks against a particular group of people. It's part of the divide and rule. And you got to love the self-hating white people that... I saw this one video where they got the T-shirts on. It says, I'm sorry. And they walk around with yokes and chains. Oh, forgive me. You didn't do nothing. You know what I mean? No one alive today in this country was a slave owner or a slave. You know? Yeah, that happened. It's a sordid part of our past. It's our history. We should learn from that history. You got people that want to negate it, erase that like it never happened. That's not a good idea.
So we're supposed to feel guilty about things we didn't do in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to feel guilty about something that might happen in the future, meaning climate change. How dare you? I mean, we can spread out the evil of white privilege infinitely into the past and the future. Yeah. And there's really no end to it.
Yeah, this whole thing of white privilege, I don't know what they're talking about.
Directions.
Oh, I got to go soon. I got to fire up my private jet. The caviar is going to be loaded on board, and we're going to continue the podcast flying all around the place on my private jet. White privilege.
We're going to put wings on the bunker.
He had two white parents, yes, and they had sex. Yes, they did. He's privileged. Come on. White people suffer with poverty and... you know, the effects of war and everything, just as everybody else. It's divide and rule. If you fall for that shit, they got you. They got your mind. You know, the tables really have turned. But when you see people that, the self-hating people, you have no control over it, you know? that just makes me laugh, you know? And you see the politicians jumping on this bandwagon. I saw this one meeting at the House or the Senate or something, and the one lady, one guy's trying to speak, I forget which district he represented, and she just looks at him, you're a white man, and he's like, yeah. Like, so you don't get a platform to speak? Isn't that discrimination? Oh no, it's only discrimination against any other group of people.
Yeah, that sounds about... I'd like to see that. How long ago did that happen?
I just saw it a couple days ago. It might have been filmed earlier, but I just came across it. And we see this occurring a lot. All over the place on, you know, sitcom television. Not that I watch that very often, but you see it. Mm-hmm. In the media. Everything, and it's all designed to divide and rule us. If we saw past our differences, if we realized, hey, the physical body is just a container... whatever color it may be is meaningless. We might, you know, if we weren't so hyper-focused on the body, maybe we could rise above those manufactured differences and actually come together in common sense and cooperation and tell these elites, no, we're not playing this game anymore. This is getting ridiculous. Can't say this, you can't say that. And the hardcore leftists, they're in a cognition of pure fantasy. You're not going to stop hate speech. You're not going to... I'd love to live in a world where people weren't hateful and racism doesn't exist. But you're not going to legislate morality. Never worked and it never will.
You're not going to... And we also have, in addition to racism, we've got this grid of different types of victims that you can be based on gender and yeah. And that's the infinitely increasingly confusing gender. Imagine if they applied that to race, and it's probably only a matter of time if people start identifying as different races. If you can identify as a different gender, when will we be able to identify as a different race? And
sure.
Shed, then you could have the best of both worlds, the white privilege with the victimhood of of a different race. Then you'd, that's what maybe Elizabeth Warren is leading the way by identifying as a Native American.
Oh, you know what really gets me, though, is with this identification shit, is the these people, they call themselves otherkin. They identify as a different species, maybe a fox or a wolf or a cat. And that's all well and good. Hey, if you want to get together with your other kin folk on the weekends and dress up as a wolf and howl at the moon, you go for it. But I don't have to take that seriously. And by God, I'm going to make fun of it. And it's my right to do that. Hey, if you want to identify as a wolf, that's fine. I don't have to respect it because at the end of the day, you're not a fucking wolf. You're a human being, you know. But that's just a... one of these things that it, so much nonsense we're expected to take seriously in today's culture with all these euphemistic languages, microaggressions and all these other terms coming out of the woodworks.
I would like to identify as a canister of Pringle potato chips.
What flavor, though? Sour cream and onion?
Well, it depends on my mood.
Yeah, identify. Well, I identify as a billionaire. I'm not, so I'm still taking the fucking bus. Yeah. What else you got there for us today, David?
I was also, you notice one place where propaganda has really been done to the utmost for, I think, the longest stretch of time has been in North Korea, where I'm not sure what year, but they just learned that that man walked on the moon, I think, sometime in the 1980s. And they take propaganda. They have they still have a village on their side of the DMZ that you can see from the south side of the DMZ called Kijongdong, and it's called in the South Propaganda Village. It's a bunch of empty buildings that are it's painted with fake windows on them. It's supposed to look like a sophisticated village, a sophisticated town, and it has the tallest. It used to be the tallest flagpole in the world with the largest flag, and this flag was huge. You could only see it really spread out when the wind was very strong, and they also teach their people that Kim Il-sung hit a hole in one the first time he ever played golf. And if you take a tour of what I've heard, I've never been to Pyongyang, but I've read some travelogues about visiting Pyongyang, and they tell you some bizarre thing. They tell the tourists there things like when they get to the library, they say that the desks in the library were designed by Kim Il-sung himself for the comfort and ergonomic stability in mind of the people seated at the desks. They'll be more comfortable at these desks than any desks anywhere else in the world. And they attribute, I think they say that Kim Il-sung, when he was born, there was thunder and lightning and a rainbow and the sun and the moon and everything was in the sky all at once. And he was born, they say he was born on this sacred mountain in North Korea, when actually he was born in the USSR. And this is, your tour guide tells you all this. And I've been told that people from Western countries like Australia, and rarely Americans can get a visa to visit North Korea, but they don't ask the tour guide any pointed questions like, well, didn't the Americans really invent this or that or the other thing? Because standing with the group is a quieter person, a male, usually always a male, not in uniform, but in who's watching. He's the minder of the tour guide, and the tour guide could get into serious trouble. I've heard some stories where the tour guide was kind of put on the spot, and she kind of looks nervously at the minder, and the minder kind of don't answer that question. It's if the truth will get out to the world.
That's incredible. That's a totalitarian society.
That's as totalitarian as it gets. They are expected to keep portraits of the three leaders in the Kim dynasty: Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong, Il and Kim Jong-un, they're expected to keep their portraits above, above their mantle or on a place of a prominent place on a wall in their homes, and they have to keep the dust off of it. And government officials can come in without a warrant and check to see that the dust is kept off of these, pictures.
All hail the supreme leader.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring that here. That's great. Well, once you see the crackdowns on language, that's the first step towards that totalitarian kind of dictatorship that we see unfolding. It's George Orwell's 1984 on steroids with the technology, though. You know, he imagined televisions that were watching you, but I don't think he had smart TVs in mind. Well, they literally spy on you, and we've seen again and again that, what are those devices called? Is it called Alexa? It's a little
Alexa,
speaker.
You ask
questions.
There's also, I think, another one.
Echo Dot, something like that. And they've been found to be recording people's conversations, so you're spied on. But what gets me is that people will go and buy these devices. Oh, look at my new Echo device. I could ask it questions. And yeah, it's recording your conversations. We're going into this Orwellian dystopia with open arms. Oh, aren't all the gadgets really neato and great? Look at my TV, listening to my conversations. And what's going to be in a few years, you say the wrong word and you get a demerit because it's politically incorrect speech? That's where we're headed.
I've heard stories of people who thought their Alexa was off. And they get a letter or an email from someone in another state saying, hey, I just needed to warn you, to tell you, I just got a transcript of a conversation that you had with your wife, and it was just sent to me. So these conversations are in some cases, or at least in some cases, being transcribed and saved. And I guess through a fluke, in a few cases, third parties found out about this, so who knows what they're recording. And I think you might have told me a story or two, or you've heard some of these stories of people saying, just talking to each other, talking about getting a pet, and they start to see ads for dog food.
Yeah.
And you put that together with facial recognition software. You might walk into Walmart and it recognizes who you are through the facial recognition software, and it might give an ad based on what your interests are,
or things that
your Alexa or your computer or any other device, your refrigerator, your smart toilet has heard you talking about. You need more fiber.
Yeah, you get ads for like high fiber foods or Mucinex or whatever. Yeah, that's what it's coming to. All right, that's about a good place to wrap it up for now, ladies and gentlemen. A little bit shorter than our normal 2-hour rambling, but I'm sure we'll come up with part 2 and 3 and more of this, because it's such a huge topic right now with the controlling and crackdown on free speech and the language. And it's, again, I think something that people really ought to be aware of.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up with how fast this is happening with all the new, new terminology, the new jargon coming out, like mansplaining and I remember it seemed to start with safe spaces, this latest wave at least, and mansplaining, microaggression, and
one of the jumps to mind when you talk about euphemisms we mentioned in the last podcast, minor attracted persons as a new label for pedophiles. And it's almost like they want to treat them as a victim. Oh, they were born this way. But the real victim, of course, is
any child that's been affected by it.
Yeah, that's a scary one. There's another example of euphemisms. Minor attracted persons, to soften it. Again, like as Carlin would mention, softening the language. As if it changes anything.
Yeah, that one is just sick.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for spending your time with us. As always, it's nice to spend time with you, and we appreciate everyone that listens with an open mind. A big thank you to the Patreons, too. Someone out there was very generous, and we really, really thank you for that. That's a big help, you know. We really do appreciate that. So thank you. It'll allow us to continue doing this. And to all those who have bought the books and read them, I appreciate that too. And the coolest thing is when I get to Skype with some of you and talk about those ideas, that is the most thrilling part to me. So thank you for that, too, ladies and gentlemen. Again, to the Patreons, thank you. Someone out there has been very generous, and we greatly appreciate that. So thank you for that. And we will talk to you soon. This is Doug Michael, and until next time, walk in peace.